Hi, we're the Denver Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with DeGrom.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever or whenever you cats and kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with DeGrom. I'm your host, David Cromwell, joined as always by my right-hand man, Hal Bent, of Full Press Coverage. As we speak, NFL training camps are winding down and the 2023 NFL season officially kicks off exactly 3 weeks from tonight. But we still have two more weeks of preseason games and countless roster transactions to go until then. And Hal, week one of the preseason definitely gave us a lot of subtle clues about what we can expect from certain teams and players come September, didn't it?
It certainly did. There weren't as many starters as we would have liked to see out there on the field, but we still had some good games, and boy, there's nothing more fun than watching these guys fighting for that 51st, 52nd, 53rd roster spot out there, and these players who shine early in the preseason and, you know, may not have been the highest draft picks or even drafted at all that end up being impact players in the NFL. This is where we get to say, yeah, we saw them. And we caught that right away, and that's what we're looking for, and that's what we love to see in the NFL.
Oh, you said it, Hal. And before we recap what we just saw this past week, let's talk about some of the recent news and notes around the NFL. On Monday, two of the NFL's most accomplished running backs in recent years found new homes. The first domino to fall was Ezekiel Elliott, who signed with your New England Patriots on a one-year deal worth up to $6 million. While this move makes sense, given that the Patriots clearly needed another back to help lighten Ramondre Stevenson's load, do you see Ezekiel Elliott's role in New England as essentially a short yardage goal line back and nothing more?
No, totally do not. I expect Elliott to get a pretty decent workload there in New England. He's certainly not going to get starter snaps, but Bill Belichick definitely used Damian Harris when he was healthy to split the snaps with Stevenson. You'd see them swapping out on different drives. I think that's pretty much the Bill Belichick MO at running back. We got to go back to like 2004 where he put one running back there and left him. And since then he's been, you know, destroying fantasy football teams ever since with his splitting up the carries. Zeke Elliott isn't the Zeke Elliott of 5 years ago. Certainly not, but he's can get the tough yards, so you're going to see him on third down. He's a threat to catch the ball out of the backfield. He's a willing and dedicated blocker in the passing game as well. So he feeds into that perfect Bill Belichick back. He's already used to, he saw his role changing last year. He knows how long he was out there in free agency this year. He's got no unreal expectations. He's not going to cause any waves. Just a perfect fit right there for what Bill Belichick wants out of his running back. So, yeah, I would expect Elliott. A lot of goal line carries, a lot of third and shorts. That's something Stevenson struggled at. And I think a lot of workload more than people expect. Certainly if Ty Montgomery stays healthy, Belichick really seemed to like him last year before he got hurt. So he might be able to steal some snaps from both of them. But, yeah, I don't think Belichick wants to go over 200 carries with Stevenson this year.
Oh, that is a very, very interesting nugget for everybody playing fantasy football. And say if somebody drafts Ramondre Stevenson in their fantasy league, should they be anticipating Ezekiel Elliott being that touchdown vulture?
Definitely. You know, like I said, Stevenson, for as big a back as he is, he's really the breakaway threat for this team more than the, you know, that short yardage back. The offense really struggled in short yardage situations without him. Damian Harris got a lot of those carries last year. And, you know, just look at the stats. Stevenson only had 5 rushing touchdowns last year. He's not the goal line back. Expect Elliott to get most of those carries.
Thank you very much, Hal. And just an hour or so after Zeke joined the Patriots, Dalvin Cook agreed to terms on a one-year, $8.5 million deal with the Jets. The following day, the Jets activated Breece Hall off the PUP list. As you know, Breece Hall, who was looking like a runaway favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year honors early last season, is coming off a torn ACL. Thus, one reason the Jets signed Dalvin Cook is that they do not plan to rush Breece Hall back into a heavy workload. But I also think there's another factor at play here. When they were in Green Bay together, the offense Aaron Rodgers and Nathaniel Hackett ran was largely centered around the running game, which featured two prominent backs in Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. Yet unlike A.J. Dillon, Dalvin Cook has the skills of an every down back that his new running mate has. Do you see Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook splitting carries 50-50 all season long?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I mean, Hall's coming off an injury. Cook, had got to get up to speed here. I'm not sure when he's going to start practicing. There's some questions with the shoulder, I think. So, yeah, they don't really have a lot behind those two guys. We saw that offense go stagnant last year. Once Breece Hall got injured as well, he was such a big part of that offense. And it's a great comparison with Green Bay and Hackett. But don't forget, you know, Robert Saleh wants that. He's got that San Francisco model as well of plug and play those running backs in. And, we talk about a 50-50 split, but I see it more like riding the hot running back or the healthiest running back. And you may see, Cook getting 20 carries a game for 3 weeks in a row, and then all of a sudden Hall's back in and Cook's a little slowed down or something, and Hall handles that big load for the next couple of weeks, and they go back and forth that way. So I do see it as a split, but I don't see it as a, many games where you're going to see them each with 12 carries each or something like that. I think it's going to be more of running that, whoever's that hot running back, whoever is got that better matchup and finding the creases, if their offensive line can get them any, will be the one that's carrying the load in that particular game.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic point there, Hal. Not only are the Jets probably going to run the hot hand of the two, in certain games, they're probably going to run whoever's the healthiest of the two. Because according to ESPN New York Jets reporter Rich Cimini, who I was privileged to interview at the Senior Bowl a couple years ago, Rich, a great guy, great reporter, Breece Hall told him that his knee is sound, although he also added that he still experiences occasional knee soreness and still is unsure whether he can make certain cuts at this time. So Breece Hall is still far, far, far from full strength. And that's why it's reasonable to expect a lot of Dalvin Cook. And you better drop Breece Hall's fantasy ADP down your boards.
Yeah, definitely. Without a doubt there. I'm not banking on a running back coming back from the injury that Hall had as a big fantasy option. I think, like I said, there's going to be plenty of yards for both guys, but leaning on overdrafting one of them in your fantasy team is going to lead to trouble, I think.
Oh, absolutely. And while Aaron Rodgers and the Jets offense get most of the hype, and understandably so, the Jets defense, especially their pass rush, could be another major factor why they have a decent shot at playing deep into January. Gangrene just might have the deepest pass rush in the entire NFL. You obviously have Big Q, Quinnen Williams anchoring the entire operation in the middle, plus John Franklin Myers, Carl Lawson, and Bryce Huff. But that's not all. As their impressive performance this past weekend at Carolina showed, 2022 first-round pick Jermaine Johnson has apparently taken a gargantuan step forward in his development. And 2023 first-round pick Will McDonald IV has been flashing his freakish athletic traits on a consistent basis in game action this month. Would it be wise to make a bet at this very moment on the Jets to lead the NFL in sacks this season?
That's a tough one there. You know, there's still some really good pass rushing teams. I think I'd be looking at Philadelphia to repeat there. But Jets definitely a top five pass rush. Sure, I could buy into that. I'd like to see Johnson, who barely got on the field, and McDonald as well, doing it in the regular season when teams start running the football at them, because if these young guys aren't holding up against the run, I don't see Robert Saleh leaving them out there very long, regardless of how athletic and freakish they are in that pass rush. So be interesting to see that. And, I mean, I like the depth there in New York. There's no doubt about it. Franklin Myers, Huff, They're good, but I don't think you're looking at those guys putting up, you know, double digit sacks or anything. Well, so deepest pass rush, sure. Leading the league in sacks, I think that might be going a little too far.
You have a point, but if the Jets offense rounds into form and Aaron Rodgers plays very close to his MVP level, these guys are going to get a lot more chances this season compared to last year to pin their ears back. So I don't think it's that out of the question for them leading in sacks.
No, that's a good point. You know, if that offense is able to get out there and be explosive and play with that lead, yeah, the defense, definitely that's a big advantage for them. You know, have teams not have to worry about them running the football and be able to, like you said, pin their ears back. That definitely helps, you know, piling up those sack numbers late in the fourth quarter with a double digit lead. We certainly saw plenty of teams doing that last year.
Yes, and on Tuesday, the Colts announced that Anthony Richardson will indeed be their starting quarterback in week one against the Jaguars, and hopefully for many, many years to come. Despite the wild, and I mean wild, roller coaster ride he's been in both camp and preseason play, and will likely be all season long, the Colts had no other choice here, did they?
No, you're absolutely correct. They had no choice at all. I mean, let's face it, the Colts... there is no other choice. There is no other option. This isn't a situation where you're going to roll out the veteran here and, you know, let the young guy sit and watch. I mean, sorry, but they're not going anywhere this season. Richardson needs as much playing time as he can get because he is not a polished quarterback there at all. And yeah, I mean, let's see. Who's the backup in Indy? Minshew? Is that right? Gardner? Yep. Yeah. Minshew mania ended in 2019. I hate to break it to you, Indianapolis. He is not winning anything. Gardner Minshew, record over the past three seasons as a starter, 2-10. All Richardson all day.
Oh, absolutely. And plus, Anthony Richardson only started 13 games in college. And Anthony Richardson, as raw as he might be, he is not as big of a project as many made him out to be. Like, a lot of those issues that he has right now are totally fixable, but only fixable with more experience. And he displayed more than enough vision and other aspects of quarterback play in college. And in his short stint on Saturday in Buffalo, there was more good than bad, in my opinion. There's definitely a lot more reasons to start Anthony Richardson than to bench him. The only way Anthony Richardson fixes all those flaws is by starting.
Exactly. And let's, like I said, the Colts, this isn't, you know, Trey Lance in San Francisco here. This isn't a Super Bowl ready team around him where, oh my gosh, we've got a, you know, make sure we don't blow this opportunity to go deep in the playoffs. So there's none of that. There's nobody pushing him. And yet, you know, you can't be cautious here and you can't put yourself in a situation where you're turning around a couple of years later and this is another Trey Lance situation. Geez, we never got him on the field. He hasn't taken, you know, he's barely played a game in 5 years. What do we get out of him? Geez, I can't understand why he looks like the third string quarterback, you know? So yeah, get him out there. Nothing to lose there. Let him learn on the job. That's going to be the most important thing for him. Get him out there on the field. Let him make his mistakes. Let him correct him. And yeah, let him flash that potential because he's got tons of it.
Oh, absolutely. And outside that interception in Buffalo on Saturday, I thought he played pretty dang good.
Yeah, he did look good, you know, and like you said, he's not as raw as we make him out to be. Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of experience, but, you know, he has that something, and that's what the Indianapolis saw. He's got the playmaking ability. He's got that, you know, that confidence about him, and if he can, you know, build on that and start inspiring that team around him and you know, getting those pieces working. Yeah, they could be, you know, make a fun little run at the end of the year, maybe.
Oh, definitely. And for Anthony Richardson's sake, please catch the ball, Alec Pierce. Oh my God, Alec Pierce. If you would have just caught that amazing pass from Anthony Richardson, Emmanuel Acho would have kept his big mouth shut.
Yeah, Alex Pierce catches the game winners from, Matt Ryan or whatever last year, sure, but can't do it now. Ah.
Yeah, well, speaking of rookie quarterbacks, one of the best performers in the first full week of preseason play was Raiders fourth-round pick Aiden O'Connell. He was decisive, quick, and accurate, and perfectly manipulated the safety with his eyes on a deep pass. And given Jimmy Garoppolo's history as a starting quarterback, it is a near certainty that he will miss a certain amount of games due to injury this season. Taking that into account, should the Raiders be giving Aiden O'Connell at least some reps with the first-string offense in practice starting right now?
I think they really do need to. I mean, this is not a, Jimmy Garoppolo, this is just the way of life with Jimmy, right? Like,
right.
1 year he played 16 games and, you know, they went to the Super Bowl. But, you know, like, otherwise, you know, the track record is not very good for Jimmy. So, yeah, you've got to be planning for that. He was so impressive. I loved O'Connell coming out of the draft. I thought he was there were a lot of what I would call Kirk Cousins vibes, like not the Minnesota Kirk Cousins, the old Washington Redskins Kirk Cousins, those vibes, you know.
Yeah.
And they were the Redskins then, so I can say that. But O'Connell, I mean, he's got good size, good mechanics, great footwork back there. He's poised. He's smart. He's got a quick release. He's one of those guys that he just grades out everything he does. Well, he's not the best, but he's really good at everything, you know? And so guys like that, they can make it in the NFL. They're definitely NFL quarterbacks. So, yeah, him dropping to the fourth round, I was a little surprised. I thought he would go end of the second, early third, but whatever. He's in a great situation now. He's got Josh McDaniels, who's so good with quarterbacks. And like you said, he's got that opportunity behind Jimmy, who we know is going to get hurt at some point. So, yes, definitely get him out there with the ones. Even if you just want to get a better look at can he duplicate that effort, I'd still run him out there with the ones and say, hey, what can he do with Davante Adams out there, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And some in the Twitterverse were making Tom Brady comparisons to Aiden O'Connell. That is way too rich for my blood, personally. Got to see a lot more first. But I think that Kirk Cousins' projection is far more realistic. And if he is anywhere near the player Kirk Cousins turned out to be, the Raiders might have hit a home run here.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they hit a home run on draft day. Last week just further entrenched that in my mind that, yeah, this guy is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL for a long time.
He definitely looks the part so far, and I cannot wait to see more of Aiden O'Connell in action this weekend. And during their preseason opener against the Titans on Saturday, the Bears offense showcased immense potential. Both DJ Moore and Khalil Herbert took screen passes to the house. Rookie running back Roshon Johnson demonstrated his insane contact balance, and rookie first-round pick Donald Wright had some excellent blocks as well. Granted, it is preseason, and there was neither a game plan nor plays that were as full speed as those in the regular season. And moreover, it is foolish to expect plays with negative air yards to result in touchdowns often. However, as I've said, preseason does matter a lot when it comes to evaluating players individually. And based on what we saw from those aforementioned players last weekend, do you think the Bears have the ingredients in place for Justin Fields to have a Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts level breakout season?
Ooh, that's putting a lot on him there. Look, Chicago offense improved, no doubt about it. Definitely more weapons around him. Much better team there on offense. Mooney's still there. Claypool has got to be better than he was last year. DJ Moore is a huge addition to that offense. And like you said, Roshon Johnson, again, there was a great pick in the fourth round. You still got Khalil Herbert running it back this year. So there's pieces around Fields. You've got pieces on that offensive line that should be improved as well. So, yeah, the offense is definitely moving there in the right direction. I like what I see. I think the biggest problem that's going to have him taking that big leap forward is he just doesn't have that defense around him that, you know, Jalen Hurts has in Philadelphia and that Allen had in Buffalo either. And, you know, if he's playing from behind most of the games, you know, they're down 14 points, and it's hard to have that breakout season and really put up those points when you're in obvious passing downs, teams are, you know, teeing off against you, and that defense, I just don't think they did enough on the defensive side to improve. I mean, that was clearly the worst defense in the league last year. You know, Yannick Ngakoue doesn't really move the needle for me here in Chicago. So I think the defense is what's holding him back and being stuck in that situation too many times of having to put that team on his shoulder is going to impair him more this year than Chicago Bear fans would like.
I've been telling my fellow Bears fans that expecting a playoff berth this year is a little too rich, because this is only the second year of a massive rebuild. Ryan Poles tore that whole dang roster down last year, folks, and this is only the second year of the project. But if the Bears can have a similar season like the one the Lions had last year and win, say, 7, 8, or 9 games, and Justin Fields takes maybe not a Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen leap forward, but a sizable leap forward nonetheless, that is a successful season. Wouldn't you think so?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if this team can win 6 or 7 games, that's a huge step in the right direction. Sets them up for 2024 as well. You know, getting those pieces added to that defense is going to be so important. There's a lot of young players, late round draft picks that are going to be out there that they're going to be leaning on here this year. It's going to take time, but that offense definitely is already moving in the right direction and can help catapult that team up the standings and make them confident and ready for 2024. They've got to just start putting those pieces together, small steps this year, a little bit of improvement week after week. And if they can do that, then year three, that's when the teams break out.
Oh, you said it, Hal. And as outstanding a debut as the Bears offense had, you probably cannot say the same about the Denver Broncos offense. Yet Russell Wilson wasn't the main problem. While he wasn't great by any means, don't get me wrong, against the Cardinals last Friday night, he was far from terrible. The main thing Denver is probably worried about is their offensive line, especially when it comes to pass protection. The Broncos' starting offensive line constantly, and I mean constantly, got their tails kicked by a marginally talented Cardinals defensive front, which led to pressures on 64% of Russell Wilson's dropbacks. And even worse, the level of competition only gets more dangerous to start the regular season, as the Broncos are set to host Max Crosby's Raiders in week 1 with Chandler Jones and promising rookie Tyree Wilson, and that scary Commanders defensive line that now includes a fully healthy Chase Young in week 2. If the Broncos offensive line doesn't show substantial improvement these next few weeks, do you think Russell Wilson gets benched due to injury by week 5, if not sooner?
It's possible, certainly, if the offensive line doesn't improve, but all right, I'm going to take a deep breath here, and I'm going to say offensive line was a problem in Denver, no doubt about it. Offensive line is a problem in a lot of different teams right now. New York, Miami, New England. I mean, there's fewer teams with no offensive line or limited offensive line problems. And let's face it, right now, offensive line is the position that, especially if teams are making changes and bringing new guys in, the more practice time, the more contact in the practice, that they need to build that cohesion. And this is where the limits that the union negotiated in the practice time in the offseason really hurts teams, because those offensive lines are where it suffers the most, and nothing hurts an offense more than a leaky offensive line, a non-cohesive unit, guys that aren't used to playing with each other, who coming back from an injury don't get enough reps to get comfortable out there, and it takes them a while to get out there. And I think that's what we're seeing in Denver. We're seeing that with a lot of teams right now. But I mean, talent-wise, McGlinchey will be healthy soon. Garrett Bowles coming back from that broken leg. He'll be fine eventually. Ben Powers shaking off some rust. He's a good offensive lineman. I mean, 60% of that offensive line is really good. Let's face it. So the pieces are in place, I think. They're 60% there. Fill in those other two spots. I think Denver will be fine on the offensive line eventually. But like many other teams, it's a work in progress still after week one.
Oh, that is an excellent point. It is getting almost impossible for NFL teams to develop reliable offensive line depth given those practice restrictions, Hal. And that's why every preseason, the quality of offensive line play only gets worse year after year after year, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And, you know, I understand the players wanting to have an off season and they need to get their bodies healthy. There's no doubt about that. These guys, I sympathize. I get it that, you know, they don't need to be out there for 2-a-days in the sun in July every day for 30 straight days with no days off. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying more mini camps in the off season. Extend those camps, get those guys working together, allow them to have a little more contact in the offseason. It's going to put a better offensive product on the field, which is going to lead to more points, which is going to lead to what? Higher TV ratings. NFL, get it done.
Oh, you said it, Hal. And now let's let people know who our standout performers from week one of preseason play were, and I will go first. And I will start with Jordan Love of the Packers. Jordan Love, in his final season as Aaron Rodgers' backup in Green Bay, Jordan Love had to play like almost the entire fourth quarter of that Sunday night game against the Eagles when Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And he looked like a league average quarterback. And he continued that momentum last Friday night in Cincinnati. There were a couple of easy slab dunk throws where his mechanics were off and he has to correct those. But he made some great throws as well. Like he would have hit Christian Watson in stride for a long touchdown pass had Dax Hill not made a brilliant play on the ball there. And he made a beautiful touchdown pass to Romeo Doubs that had touch on it. Jordan Love is definitely progressing in the right direction. So he's one of my standouts. And my other standout, Steelers rookie defensive tackle Keanu Benton. Like I said last time, the Steelers have been looking for years and years and years for another body up front to take the load off of future Hall of Famer Cameron Hayward. And Keanu Benton finally seems like the guy that's going to stop that revolving door. He was in the backfield constantly last Friday night in Tampa. So the Steelers probably have a gem in a Keanu Benton and a potential heir long-term to Cameron Hayward. Who are your two standouts from preseason play last weekend, Hal?
Well, I'm going to go with two players that I was so high on in going into the draft. I had both of these guys pegged as late round steals and one wasn't even drafted. So it killed me on draft day, but Dallas running back Deuce Vaughn, all 5'5" of him. Solid performance, 50 yards rushing on 8 carries, 3 receptions, all that momentum, all that highlight coming out of those practices for Dallas showed up on the field under the bright lights. May only be 5'5", but he is a big player when the ball is in his hand. So Deuce Vaughn, one of my favorites, Kansas State running back now in Dallas, and my New England Patriots. Wait, do we have a quarterback controversy? Not Bailey Zappi, Malik Cunningham. The Louisville product, great performance at the end of the game. He's been practicing with the wide receivers most of the year, was 3 for 4, 19 yards passing. His best pass of the game was that one incompletion. He escaped trouble on the run, threw a dart, would have been a 35-yard touchdown, but Trey Nixon dropped the ball that was right in his breadbasket, cut Nixon, sorry. Also 34 yards rushing and a rushing touchdown in which he played human pinball and bounced off of about 4 defenders before getting into the end zone. So athleticism, excitement, Patriots have a gadget player. I think he played his way onto the 53 right there last week and excited to see him again when he gets some playing time in the next 2 games.
And can you see Bill Belichick using him as like a scat back this season in some packages?
Oh, definitely. So, yeah, this week in practice, he already was doing some drills, running the ball, lining up at quarterback for some of the drills. He's clearly passed Trace McSorley as the number three quarterback already, and now the league has the roster rules to have that third quarterback not count against the active roster. So that's going to help quarterbacks staying on the roster this year. So that only helps Cunningham. And he's still practicing with the wide receivers. So, yeah, we're looking at a one of those Swiss Army knife players, you know, that I think Bill Belichick's wanted to get his hands on one of those for a while.
Yeah, he probably saw what Sean Payton was trying to do with Taysom Hill all those years in New Orleans, and he probably wanted a Taysom Hill of his own, and exactly. Malik Cunningham could very well be that guy. Yeah, yes. And he is. Hal Bett, ladies and gentlemen. Catch his work at Full Press Coverage and follow him on Twitter at HalBett01. Hal, thank you so, so much once again for joining us, but we have one more question before we let you go here. What are the main things you're looking for in week two of preseason action?
Week two is great because I'm looking for two different things. Is one, most of the teams are going to start playing their starters who didn't play them last week. So we want to see those guys shake off some rust. We want to see how they perform as a unit, cohesiveness, you know, basically under the bright lights, how they're bouncing in there. And then the rest of it is looking at some of these players who we haven't really gotten a good look at, or we just started seeing them last week and we're hungry for more. And can they carry that momentum and start building up that role and that fight for the roster spot? So yeah, guys like Dorian Thompson Robinson at quarterback, I want to see more of him. I want to see the Bills with Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox on the field at the same time. Those are the types of things I'm excited to see for the first time here in week two.
Oh, those are good things to look out for, Hal. And I am personally looking for improvement in the most of the other rookie quarterbacks, not named Aiden O'Connell, Bryce Young, who actually was pretty solid despite the stat line. I want to see him in a game plan that's a little bit more based off the run, because you saw the suspect pass protection of the Panthers offensive line going against that Jets pass rush as well. CJ Stroud had a big wake-up call to reality. The wide receivers aren't as open as they were at Ohio State, and pockets are going to be nowhere as clean as they are in the NFL as they were at Ohio State. Any type of incremental progress from CJ Stroud this week would be a very, very, very welcome sign. And Anthony Richardson, just build on what you showed last week and lead a touchdown drive, even if it happens to be against my Bears in preseason. So definitely want to see improvement from those three. And also, stay with quarterbacks for a moment. Trey Lance's absolutely tragic performance.
I was thinking of you, David.
Oh. Oh, my God. Looks like that hype that the 49ers were dishing out to the media about him in trading camp was a mirage. They were probably trying to boost his trade value. I want to see Sam Darnold put a lock on that backup quarterback job this week. Sam Darnold, just show us what you still got in the tank. Show the 49ers that you could back up Brock Purdy all season long, and maybe start week one if Brock Purdy is not quite fully back to form by then. So Sam Darnold, put a lock on that backup spot in San Francisco. And Hal, thank you so much once again. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But we'll be back in just a few days with the finale of our Beyond the Chat series with the 2023 Denver Broncos cheerleaders featuring rookie team member Mary Kate. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at dcrom59 and on Instagram, TikTok, and now Threads at Sports Crunch with Dcrom. And remember, that's Crunch with a K. And please, please click the link in my Instagram bio to vote for Friend of the Pod Berkeley in the 2023 Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Model Search Competition. You can do so daily now through September 1st. For Hal Bent, this is David Cromwell saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in any sport. Until next time, cats, kittens, stay cool.